Our reading this morning are words by Reverend Doug Kraft. When I was a kid, I liked to skip stones on lakes. If I threw a flat stone at the correct angle and with enough speed and energy, it would kiss the surface and leap into the air again and again. If we have too much stuff in our lives, our attention skips from one object to another without really enjoying anything. If we have too many activities, our attention jumps from past to future without settling into the present. If we have too many opinions, we end up thinking about how things should be without fully seeing how things are. Happiness and ease flow from the bottom of the lake. They aren't found hopping over the surface of life. We have to slow down enough to settle into the depths. Joy and ease are simple and uncomplicated. Having lots of things to do, stuff to manage, places to go, opinions to consult, make life complicated. And so may we commit today to practices that cultivate simplicity. May we reduce the amount of stuff, activities, or preferences so we have a better chance of settling into the present. May we get the outward to resonate a little better with the happiness, joy, and ease in our depths. How many of you rushed to get here this morning? All right, good answer. It wasn't a quiz, but we're always rushing to get here or there on time, ready to get stuff done. It has become the expectation that we are bouncing from event to event. Now, I recently came across a blog post written by a mom about how for years she would constantly tell her daughter to hurry up. Hurry up and find your shoes. Hurry up and get buckled into the car. Hurry up and finish your dinner. They had places to be. This mom wanted to make sure they got done everything they needed to get done. Then one day, her older daughter, waiting outside the car for her little sister, said to her, "You are so slow." And this mom says that in this moment, she saw herself through her children's eyes. She saw that somehow she had become so focused on accomplishing tasks and getting places on time that she'd become a bully to her own children. She had lost sight of the need to be present in the moment and had grown accustomed to skimming over the surface of experiences. And that had become the expectation of her children, not to be, but to do, and to do quickly. And so many of us do that. We've become accustomed to skimming from task to task, meeting to meeting, appointment to appointment, that we very rarely slow down and just be. As we rush around, dashing from place to place, it may be that we are sacrificing our own well-being in the process. The National Institute for Mental Health recently came out with a study that shows the number one mental health diagnosis in the country is anxiety amongst children and adults and elders. This came as no surprise to me. We've grown increasingly anxious as a people and a culture. Some of this anxiety comes from the constant stimulation we experience. Some of this anxiety comes from our frenzied political climate and the seemingly constant changing dynamics and characters and policies. Some of this anxiety comes from the pressure from our families or communities or even ourselves to do better and be better, to do more, to accomplish lots and lots and lots of things. Some of this anxiety comes from the excessive information we have about nearly everything, from food to politics to parenting styles to the next best vitamin or mineral that will help with aging. And still more of this anxiety comes from social media and on-screen personas that we see depicted on our news feeds, the sense that everyone else has their act together, has perfectly behaved children in matching outfits all the time. They have a wonderful spouse. They eat healthy food for every meal. We spend a lot of time in that world, the virtual world, I mean. In fact, a recent report said that the average person spends 2 hours every day on social media. And I think we know that some people, many people actually, spend much more of their time on there than that. I'm guilty of it. You might be too. Don't get me wrong, I love social media, I really do. I've reconnected with people I haven't seen in years. I'm able to keep up to date on my friends' children, my extended family. I'm able to share resources with ministry colleagues and connect in really amazing ways. Social media is a wonderful way to connect with people and organizations that are important to us. And I'll even use this opportunity as a shameless plug for our website, our Facebook page, and our new Instagram account. Like them, follow us, visit often. I'll even take it a step further and take a selfie right now from the pulpit. Check out the Facebook later and see it. I love social media, but sometimes these virtual ways of connecting with each other get in the way of actual connection with the people near us. They can also increase people's tendency to share their opinions as fact and to get in circular arguments with people who have no intention of backing down or changing. So part of our increased anxiety may be tied to our difficulty finding ways to truly connect with others and have real-life conversations about the issues that matter to us and weigh on our hearts. Some of our anxiety may also be from our perceived levels of busyness. We have 24 hours in a day. That has never changed. So often we hear each other talk about how busy we are, how much we have to get done, how we don't have time for the things that matter to us, that we want to experience in our lives. We keep hearing that people are busier now than they have ever been. And actually, multiple studies have shown that this is not the case. One study by Harvard Business Review looks at this shift in culture about work and busyness and leisure. And in that study, they found that the biggest shift related to our obsession with being busy is not shifts in work or family patterns. The biggest shift is not the increase of programming for children and youth. It's not even the entrance of women into the workforce and the attempt to balance work and home lives. The biggest shift that has happened in our belief is that being busy increases our social status. I'll say that again. The biggest shift in our sense of busyness has happened because we believe that being busy increases our social status. We used to believe that someone was of high social stature if they had time for leisure. They spent time on their boat, they traveled, laid in the pool, read, for instance. But now, overwhelmingly, we believe that people are of higher social stature if they are busy. So in essence, to be busy is to be successful, important, and respected. So we have this increased anxiety from the pressure to hurry, increased anxiety from social media addiction, and increased anxiety from expectations to be busy in order to appear successful. Where does all that anxiety go? How do we transform it into a healthier reality? How do we prevent ourselves from having that anxiety passed down to future generations? And how do we make room for play? Well, I'm left wondering about those 2 hours a day. Even for those of us who aren't on social media at all, or don't even know what that is, I wonder about the time you're spending in one way that you might be better off using another way. Maybe you spend 2 hours a day worrying or running unnecessary errands or otherwise distracted. 2 hours a day. That translates to 5 years and 4 months in a lifetime. 5 years, 4 months. What would you be able to do with that amount of time? Well, in 5 years and 4 months, you could travel to the moon and back 32 times. You could run over 10,000 marathons. This literally sounds exhausting to me. You could even watch the entire series of The Simpsons, every single episode, 215 times. That is a lot of time. Now, I'm not suggesting these as alternatives to social media, But I am suggesting that we could get a lot accomplished in that amount of time. And more importantly than getting things accomplished, we could have really enriching experiences. In our reading this morning, Reverend Kraft speaks of skimming over the surface of life. This idea of jumping from task to task, never slowing down to settle into the depths. This has become an age-old challenge. It exists in various cultures and countries, this challenge of slowing down, of taking time, of rest, has existed for ages. There's a Zen proverb that says, every person should meditate for 20 minutes a day. Unless you're busy, then you should meditate for an hour. I think as we saw in our Time for All Ages this morning, this could be challenging for many of us, not just the young people. The Cherokee people have a tradition of rest and renewal each month at the new moon. In some forms of Buddhism, there is a Sabbath called Uposatha, which is practiced on the seventh or eighth day, depending on the moon. And there is a Sabbath practice in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, where once per week, the community gathers for prayer and reflection, and the people are expected to relax and be in community with one another outside of work or other obligations. I think these traditions are onto something. This idea of slowing down intentionally on a regular basis and creating time for rest, renewal, community, and reflection is essential to health of our minds, our bodies, and our spirits. It may be part of why you're here this morning. A practice of setting aside time is just that, a practice, and it can be hard, particularly now when activities and sports and travel and work are scheduled on days that used to be set apart. So how do we take an intentional time to rest or recharge when there is so much in our culture pulling us and tugging at us and requiring us to do more? How do we shift the focus from doing to being? Well, one place to start might be to continue to carve out time for rest or introspection. Maybe that means coming to this service each week. Maybe it means sitting in meditation for 20 minutes each morning, or an hour if you're busy, or realistically starting out with 2 minutes and working up. Maybe it means taking one day each week as a technology Sabbath, free of social media. If you're interested in this, the Church of the Larger Fellowship has resources online that you can look into. Ironic, I know. Maybe instead of taking a whole day as a Sabbath, we carve out those pockets of time in our days and use them to be productive with our souls instead of doing. Part of the challenge in all of this is that it requires us to say no to things and people and events, and that can be very hard for some of us. And it means saying no as a spiritual practice of setting boundaries around your time and your values. If it's something that's not in line with your intentions and your values, it's an intentional practice to say no, and that can be hard. Maybe setting aside time for rest, renewal, and refueling our spirits looks like being fully present with the people in our lives. I recently heard of a new game played at restaurants. Everyone puts their cell phone in the center of the table in a pile, and the first person to grab their phone has to pay the whole bill. There's even a restaurant I know of that will take your phone before you're sat and give you 10% off your bill when you're finished with your tech-free meal. Now again, none of this is to demonize social media or technology or even work. These are all good and healthy and helpful to us in our lives. And there's something to be said for the spiritual practice of unplugging, not constantly doing, just being in the moment. Intentionality about how we spend our time and who we spend it with is a spiritual practice. It takes practice and a continuous reminder of how we're living in line with the values that we uphold. In this busy and frenetic world, may we learn to take our time. In our continued journey toward understanding ourselves and each other, may we have patience with the process. As we explore the ways we can recharge and refuel our spirits, let us be grateful for the people and places and experiences that calm us and decrease our anxiety. Let us find ways to unplug and plug into community, to possibility, and to hope with gratitude and with intention. So may it be. Amen. Blessed be.